What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another Angle Up Pursuit podcast. This week we recap Dover, we get you set for Kansas, who needs to be on your betting card, and is there value as we head to in a mile and a half track, a place Brian and I are very, very excited to get on this week's Angle Up Pursuit podcast.
Ross Chastain used the wall all the way around this racetrack.
Logano has been the class of the field.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
Yeah, I need to change my underwear.
Brian Twining. We're headed to Kansas. But first, we need to recap Dover and talk about what went well, what didn't go so well, and how you hit another outright, including, and actually, your Denith Hamlin season win total plus.
That's right, baby.
Let me just throw this up for the people. I can present my screen. Yes, I can. Denith Hamlin over 2.5 wins before the All-Star break. Have you been on all three of them for the show too?
At least two for sure.
So yeah, that seems good. Let me go over and copy a couple of these, see what people can see. Oh, you had a good week and me not so much, but that's okay.
Yeah, no, that look, something that I realized on Sunday when I was watching the race was I was actually happy to be able to get back on Denny live. I got him at 14-1. That was ridiculous that I was able to grab that during the race. Wow. And it was right after he had gotten loose going into two or something on one of the restarts after a caution. Yeah. And yeah, like people are going to complain about the aero blocking and all that stuff, blah, 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 blah. Like, look, it's just part of the sport now and drivers have to adapt. And for anybody to try to say like it's making the racing worse, I honestly think that that's what makes that race that much more exciting, was because we had that, because Larson could have thrown it in there down low, but his car just wasn't working on the bottom line. And so Denny knew that by swerving up high, he was taking away his air. Like he was forcing Larson to have to do something out of his comfort zone.
And we talked, we talked about it. There was some ideas that maybe there could be a potential third line or different lines to run at this track and not just a conveyor belt. And sure enough, that's what we got. And Denny was able to take advantage of that extra space and forced everybody else to adjust to him. And they couldn't. He got to the front and he ran away with it. So you did have Mr. Hamlin. You got him at 6.5-1. He was 7. He got real short on race day, but as you mentioned, there was some live opportunities on him. You also had that Bowman top 10. That was nice. You had Bowman over Chastain. You had Elliott over Gibbs and Blaney over Gibbs. You were a little more down on Tyrone, and I probably should have followed suit, but that's okay.
However, to Ty Gibbs' credit, like he battled his ass off. And still wound up with a really good finish. And, you know, I just think it's showing we are just, you know, a top three or a, you know, a really good run away from this guy beginning a string of wins, because he is there every single week. He's got speed at every track. I expect him to perform really well this weekend as we shop lines. But yeah, no, I definitely feel like those were, although they hit, it was a little sketchy at times because Gibbs, especially late, like knowing the Toyotas have how much long run speed they had, I was definitely worried on those.
Well, and it's funny too, like Todd Furman jumped on the previous pool with Wormy on Sunday morning, and they were even talking about Gibbs. And it's like, if you didn't get him like race one or race two, all the value is gone with his bets. Yep. Even without winning a race, the dude is just priced aggressively. He's like, I've talked about him before, but like, he's basically, if you bet golf and you know Xander Schauffele just doesn't win, but every single week he's like one of the three or four or five top priced guys. He's inside 10-1 at most tournaments. He's, you know, along with the elites at the majors, and yet never cashes those tickets for anybody, but they can't price him too aggressively because he's always right there at the end, and they don't want to get burned. So it's kind of interesting to see how he's priced and what opportunities we may be able to get with him, because he is somebody that I want to back. I'm excited about, especially this week. But also, do I really want to bet Ty Gibbs at, like, you know, inside 10 to 1? Do I want to lay short numbers with him to top 10 or to top 5 or to top Toyota? It's hard to get my brain there. So obviously a bad week. Josh Berry almost got there, didn't quite get there. Of course Kyle Busch just sticks it in the top 5 all day and just rubs in my face in it. It's fine.
I feel like the Busch thing though he was a benefactor of like late race or late mid last stage caution, because he was probably like a 5th to 8th place car, I think, in my opinion at best. And then when he was able to jump a few spots on pit lane, and then, you know, it just passing what is difficult in this car. You heard him complain about it. Obviously, we heard Kyle Larson, fans everywhere are bitching about it. So, yeah, like track position is still king in the next gen car, and especially at a track like that. So, yeah, but Busch, I think he outperformed what he probably had underneath him. But yeah, I don't know.
But in the same time, he was still like a top 10 car. Like, I figured he'd sink like a rock.
Yeah, true.
Especially with the weather change and stuff. And that was kind of my instinct on going there. And that was a bad one. So Chris Bell, meh. Chase Elliott felt like he had a good day. Probably should have gone more of a top 5 route instead of a top Toyota or top Chevy route. And then like Byron was a little frustrating because he didn't finishing the race.
Dude, if again, like similar situation as in Las Vegas, without the trash bag, Byron's probably competing for a win. Without the pit crew forgetting to like put the tire on the front left, I think he's probably up there inside the top 5, competing possibly inside the top 3. Like, it as we look at pre-race odds for the Advent Health 400 upcoming here in a little bit, Byron again should be very intriguing to everybody.
Well, and it's so weird too, because of all the things we expect with Byron, poor pit crew is not anywhere near that list.
The last one we could have envisioned.
Yeah. He's always super rock solid. So that's weird. Let's look at DraftKings. A little frustrating over there. Obviously, Byron and Bell both not finishing. Well, they finished basically the last two. Elliott was great. Josh Berry, he was just kind of there. Like, I probably gave him a little more credit than he deserved, starting 12th. Josevar, whatever. Zane Smith was fine. Zane Smith was solid, but he was also like 20%, so hard to get to him there.
Look, Zane Smith, and I'm going to accredit some of that to Tyler Reddick, are the reason why Christopher Bell and Bubba Wallace both were not there at the end of the race, in my opinion. Reddick took it 3 wide when he absolutely should not have on the first corner on a restart. And Zane Smith got too aggressive with his overcorrection, which caused them to get into each other, caused them to hit Bubba, blah, blah, blah. Stuff happens. He wrecks Byron and Bell.
Yep. Denny, obviously the person you needed, started 6th and won the race. 59 fastest laps, 136 laps led. Was awesome. This is our best lineup. Keselowski, I thought, man, he's gonna be safe if anything, and
I mean, he probably would have lucked out into like a top 12, top 13 had he not wrecked himself. And you know, but again, he's just they're just not fast. Ford sucks. And then if you watched the Aprice NASCAR, I think he called it. Chris Wormy did a post-race show. Daniel Suarez had the luckiest race probably of the season, getting the lucky dog numerous times when he was probably the slowest car that wasn't involved in a wreck all day. I don't know what happened with the Trackhouse guys, because even Ross Chastain, even though he had a late race surge, like they were not in the picture at all the entire day.
No, they showed up with bad cars and they were there all day. Last lineup, Byron, as I mentioned with Chastain, he ended up pulling a 12th, but he wasn't very good.
Yeah, he was not good.
Gibbs was fine. Briscoe stunk. I don't know. Not a good week on DraftKings.
And then Todd Gilliland, the sufferer of the ineptitude of NASCAR's like towing company, when How the F do flat tires result in going five laps down because they can't freaking just push the damn car into pit lane? Like, I don't understand that. They need to make it more pronounced, the Joey Logano situation from a couple of years ago where he's screaming at them to hook it up. Like, what is going on there? A flat tire should not ruin your race.
No.
That's ridiculous.
I don't know. It was a weird day for sure. But still, you had a good week. You're actually ahead of me now. You've passed me after my horrendous week. So you're up almost 20 units. I'm still up almost 16 units. So,
hey, that's the ebbs and flows.
I'm not going to complain. Yeah. You know, we just need another big week like Texas or Atlanta and we'll be crushing again. So let's keep it green. Let's stay green. And let's head over to Caesars to talk about the outright odds this week. Kyle Larson, 4-1. Denny Hamlin, 4.5-1. Tyler Reddick, 6-1. Martin Truex, 7.5-1. William Byron, 8-1. Are you getting involved inside 10-1 this week?
Okay. I've mentioned this ad nauseum. Martin Truex Jr., there is no way I'm betting him pre-practice and qualifying at any number that's longer than double digits until he actually wins a race.
Yeah.
And I'm not betting anybody at 4 or 4.5 because the only how much shorter can they actually get? And yeah, so
they would have to dust the field and
like, yeah, they would have to be at least a half of a second faster than everybody. So again, we talk about this every single week. William Byron, 8-1. Of all of these guys here, he's the only one that I could see their odds getting any shorter to the level at which you're actually getting value post qualifying. He's probably going to qualify on the front two rows or so. He could reopen at that 5.5, 6 number, which is probably where he should open every single week with how fast this car is. And there is no chance in hell, like I'm going to say this now, that pit crew is going to make a similar mistake that we saw in Dover for a second week in a row. So, you know, Byron for me is the safest bet inside this 10-1 number. And he's the only guy I'd even consider at this moment inside at the top of the board right now.
Yeah, I'm just pulling up action to see if there's any better numbers. It looks like 8's the best you can get. I will say Kyle Larson has top 5 in 4 of his last 6 trips to Kansas and has a whopping 475 laps led. Which seems good, and the best driver rating by a significant amount when he's got a 119.7, and Denny Hamlin is second with a 111.3. That's good. And then Hamlin is 5 of 6 finishing in the top 5, so it's clear why they're priced the way they are. They're going to be in the conversation. If you want to hit those two guys and then maybe like a Byron or something and log out, like I wouldn't fault you. Brad and I tend to not do that just because we want to see them unload well. And like we mentioned, if they like in terms of value, you're not getting a ton there. So it's hard to pull the trigger there. But
in the same breath that I was able to get Denny Hamlin 14-1 live at Dover by a small slip up where he slipped from like 4th to 8th. I think those two guys are probably a wait and bet live scenario where say one of them, you know, messes up in qualifying or they make an adjustment and they have to start at the rear of the field. Like maybe you get an extra point there and you're getting 5 or 5.5 as opposed to this 4 number. Like any sort of increased value on them is going to be beneficial in the long run when you can probably grab all these other guys outside of the 10-1 number.
Yeah. Chase Elliott 10-1, Christopher Bell 10-1, Ty Gibbs 12-1, Bubba Wallace 12-1.
Nope.
None of them.
Yeah, like the only one of these guys that I could see their number shortening a lot is probably Christopher Bell, quite honestly, because of his race winning pedigree. If he were to put it on the front row, I could see him reopening at that 6-8 spot.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of him, even if Ty Gibbs pulls it, where's he going to go? 10-1? Like, dude still has yet to win a race. They can't put him too short because then nobody's going to get action.
Yeah, maybe like 8-1. But yeah, I'm with you. If People seem to love to bet him. And then, Bubba's the only one of this group with a win, so that's something.
I mean, admittedly, I do have action on Bubba and Gibbs at 16 on our favorite offshore. So,
ooh, baby.
Yeah, and Bell at 14, a little bit. So
I don't hate those. Those are good numbers because you've already gotten value, and they could keep climbing.
Well, I think it's also important to note that Toyota has won 5 of the last 6 Kansas races.
Oh, so, baby, like, talk dirty to me.
And 2311 has won 3 of the last 4. So,
okay, so it's basically JGR 2311 this week.
And HMS. Honestly, I feel like those are the only contenders for the race win. I wouldn't even entertain anybody outside of them, except for maybe the guy that's 5th name down there, Ross Chastain, who is always somebody to keep an eye on at 1.5s.
Yeah. Yeah, he's interesting. He's 22, which is a good number. But
yep.
I do worry a little bit that maybe he qualifies well and that number goes to like 12 and then he has a shit race because he can't race well and qualify well. So do you have any interest in like Alex Bowman 22 maybe? I mean, we're getting long numbers on the olds. The Fords suck.
The Ford sucks. Look, I was in a Twitter conversation with Win the Race, Mr. Ryan Stevens, and we were chatting about Joey Logano. Like, in previous years, if you had seen Joey Logano open at 40-1, he was an automatic bet. Like, it didn't matter where you were going, you were going to place that. And even at the beginning of this year, that's kind of the sentiment I had with him. But with how poorly they've performed at 1.5s since the beginning of last year, and just at any track that requires speed, I wouldn't even think about betting Logano until it probably gets into like the 60 range at this point, because Ford just simply has not shown enough to get to the front. And yes, I understand Noah Gregson has been incredible. He's probably going to qualify inside the top 10 again, look great, single lap speed. But
yeah,
even at 100 for somebody like Gregson, like, do you really think that he's going to be able to compete with and or beat Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, William Byron, Ross Chastain, Martin Truex Jr.? Like, no way.
No, I don't think that at all. But I do like seeing him at 100, because if I want a top 10 number, if I want a matchup, maybe something else, maybe I can get a little more juice out of it and be a little more excited. Bowman is interesting, obviously has some potential, but also wasn't good at Vegas, had an accident in Texas. And it's hard to see him being great when you have the same garage with Byron and Larson and Chase Elliott, who's becoming awesome.
Yeah, it's I don't know. Like, I feel like Bowman is a guy who's probably going to qualify inside the top 10, but at the back end of it, he's probably going to be like, you know, maybe fourth row and back, like last two rows. And so what's he going to reopen at 16? I mean, I would rather wait for that and see that he's got like decent pace in practice too. Because that's going to be really telling. I feel like a place like Kansas where, you know, you got to see if you can maintain this speed, and also too, where the high line might come into play, where a guy like Tyler Reddick could, you know, mow down the field here, which he's done in the past. So I don't know. I'm not going to be really heavily invested at the longer numbers here in Kansas, because we know who's good here and we know who's probably going to be up front.
Well, and it's weird too, because like, I don't love any of these short numbers, but I also don't want to bet anybody long. Oh, so yeah, how do we get involved in the outright market, or do we just not this week and get involved other places?
Yeah, it is. It's really interesting, because of all those guys, like, normally you'd be like, oh man, I could get 20-1 on Ryan Blaney. I mean, that's great value. But again, going back to the Ford conversation, they have yet to show anything in terms of race winning potential. So
yeah,
he's a, like a top 10 play, but I'm guarantee you that's, we haven't looked yet, by the way, he's probably juiced in the top 10 market as well to like 1-2 or some crap.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Chase Elliott's interesting at double digits, but it's only 10-1. I am looking over on iFantasy Races Twitter. He always puts out really good like heat charts. Reddick is number 1 with a second best at Vegas and fastest at Texas. Larson's 2. Hamlin is 3, Gibbs is 4, and Byron's 5. Chastain is 8th, so I don't hate to see that. I think he has speed and he has the ability. He's shown the ability to win races against these guys when they're all really good, so I don't hate that. Total speed at Kansas over the last 2 years. Chris Bell is 1, tied with Denny Hamlin. Then it's Larson, Reddick, and Chastain. There he is once again. I'm adding Ross Chastain at 22.
I knew that was the direction that was headed right there. Oh, man.
Yeah, he's the only one over, like, 12-1 that I actually want to bet. Like, I don't want to bet Alex Bowman. Like, I'd rather bet Byron at 8 or Chase at 10 than Bowman at, 22.
Yeah, it's just interesting because when you look at those guys too, like for me, Bowman, I'd much rather attack him in a placement market, like a top 10 or something, than I would Ross Chastain. Because Chastain, I just feel he's probably going to be competing up front at a higher likelihood than Alex Bowman for the race win. And so I would much rather get action on a Chastain W and less on his auxiliary markets, expecting him to race uber aggressively. Whereas Alex Bowman, I feel like he wouldn't be as inclined to potentially wreck and be, you know, checkers or wreckers, and he would take the second or third place finish.
Yeah, and Ross wants to win, and Alex Bowman is fine getting a fourth place when another HDMS driver wins. So, 22 is a good number, and I will be jumping on that. I'm just debating if I want to do Byron, Chase, or both. But we'll let the rest of the board dictate that for us. So let's go down. Let's do manufacturers, and then we can do some, some head-to-head props, and then maybe find some other fun stuff. We got to go to the remind me to click on the race. We can go to finishing position and find those over-unders.
Yep. And by the way, Bet Rivers, William Byron, 9-1. I'm adding it.
All right, let's go.
That is, Byron is qualifying inside the top 10, and this number will either be shorter or the same. But of all the guys inside double digits, I feel like he is the most likely to see a significant change.
And if you can, 8's the best you can get. I'm fine with 8, but I prefer 9. Let's see here. Top Ford. Ford sucked. But they still haven't got their shit together over at Caesars. Come on, dude. Figure it out.
All we got to do is tweet storm them. We just got to tweet storm
them. Yeah, I got to start barraging them. I'm not actually betting at your sports book. I just talk about it every week, and I would like to be able to read it in somewhat.
Yeah, we would like to be able to make out what the hell is going on with your stuff.
Yeah. Oh. These are gross names. Like, I don't like any of these. Do you like anything? Ryan Blaney at +160. Greg's in at 6.5-1 if you want to get spicy with him.
You got 6.5? I'm looking at 6 here.
Did it move while I was like mid-sentence? Let's see.
Yeah, maybe.
Top board. No,
it did.
It did. Holy shit. Look how impressive. I'm so good at moving lines. I just like start talking about it and it moves.
I think Noah Gragson has been extremely impressive, but I feel like that's too short for a guy who is still technically it's not a rookie, but.
But like, who are you scared of? Not Austin Cindric.
Oh,
not
RFK.
Not Chase Briscoe.
Even if the RFK guys don't have the speed, I think both of them are just skilled enough in order to maintain, just stay in the race, that they could be the ones that steal this.
I'm taking it. I'm going to look for the best number. Maybe you can do some like Googling on Superbook and BetMGM for me, but I'm taking it. I think it's a fun bet. I like 6-1. I think, and that's a proper way to get paid out. And I don't have to worry about him fighting with the Toyotas or the Chevys for top 3, top 5, any of that crap.
That's a good point.
Speaking of Toyotas, we have Bubba at 7, Bell at 5.
Oh my gosh. 12-1 at BetMGM. Noah Gragson, top 4. I'm adding that.
Can you please be in Vegas right now and bet that for
me? Dude, I know. I told Kyle prior to recording this, I've been, my wife and I have constantly been talking. Like, we
I think need to, you just need to move there and then I can send you some money and you can just be my little Sherpa to run around.
Proxy. I'm going to be your Vegas proxy.
Mm-hmm. We can have a little Chris Wormy, Todd Furman situation going.
Yeah. Wow, that's an incredible number.
Do you prefer Bubba at 7, Bell at 5.5, or Ty Gibbs at 7 if you had to bet it? Or was it not worth it because of what Denny could do? Because I feel like there's no... I mean, I guess Reddick at 3 is interesting, but like I don't want to bet Truex.
Yeah, not at 3 and 3 quarters.
Do you like Gibbs at 7 or Bell at 5.5?
Mm. I mean, those are tough. I feel like... You'd have to look at their placement markets as well. And then maybe you can get a couple of them against each other in matchups. Like that's something that I've been actively trying to do on a week to week basis is looking at those like manufacturer markets and pricing them out by looking at available matchups of two drivers, like to see if there's value on taking them in their manufacturer, or if I can just get plus money on a guy in a 1v1. Yeah, in the same manufacturer, I'd rather take that because then they don't have to beat everybody in the stable.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense, and I think that's a great way to check stuff out. Like you can find opportunities to either get in or get out on people.
Okay, perfect example. BetMGM again. Christopher Bell is +125 over Tyler Reddick. Yes, Tyler Reddick's incredible here. 23-11 is fantastic at this track. I already mentioned winners of 3 of the last 4. All of them in the 45 car, I believe. But I mean, by all intents and purposes, Kyle rattled it off. Christopher Bell has the number one speed ranking at Kansas in the next gen car. Results may not always be there, but like if he keeps the damn tires on it, which he's had difficulty doing the last couple of weeks, he's probably going to be as fast, if not faster, than Tyler Reddick. So I would rather bet that than bet Bell at a larger number in the top Toyota market because he only has to beat Reddick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then you eliminate Hamlin and Truex in the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Byron at 3. Chase Elliott at 4. Like, I don't love any of those.
What's the Larson price on top Chevy?
125.
Holy crap.
Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah, that's really bad.
He's -105 to top 3. That just feels aggressive. Like, I know he's incredible and really dominant, but
we thought the post or the flop number on Larson last week at Dover was ridiculous. But they clearly got that shit right because he was probably the fastest car being able to make his way from 21st or whatever the hell he was immediately to the front.
Yeah.
Like, he definitely proved me wrong in that aspect.
Yeah. Interesting, interesting, interesting.
Oh, and of course, they don't have individual top 10 markets right now.
No, why would they have that? It's only Tuesday late in the day, almost evening. Is there qualifying odds?
No, I've noticed they normally drop those like later in the week, which is odd. But
then they have a random Daniel Suarez finish.
Oh no, they do have him.
Where is it? What's it called?
You can just go to schedule for matchups.
Oh. Yeah, but no, I wanted the like just the overall, not the qualifying head.
Oh, for the pole?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one I think they drop really late.
Let's see here. Do they not have the It looks like they got rid of the like over unders.
No, they're in there just at the. So if you go back to the future bets, yeah, see, they're at the bottom right there. Those things.
All right, Ryan Blaney finishing. Does he get top 10 minus 125?
I'm not betting a negative number on a Ford.
No. Kozlowski 13.5, Suarez 16.5.
I don't hate the Suarez number, but
yeah, it's gross. Yeah. McDowell 21. Like, can you get a top 20 for plus money? Reddick's 5.5. That's gross.
McDowell has one top 20 here at Kansas in the four next gen races.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah. What McDowell is going to show up? Like, one that's awesome? I mean, I guess we're really just like super speedway races and then like random one offs with him and like ignore him at the rest.
Yeah. Well, I think too, you have to try to guess, is he going to unload fast or is he going to unload slow? Because you're going to get. Like, that's going to determine whether or not that's an EV bet.
Byron at plus money over Larson in qualifying. This is a fine bet. I know it's minus 180. It feels really gross, but.
Yeah, I don't see any chance Kozlowski out dueling.
Yeah. Is plus 125 good for against Larson?
I don't know, man. How do you bet against Larson in anything, really?
Chase against Chastain. You want Chastain to not do well in practice, though, like that, or qualifying rather. McDowell versus Cindric is hilarious to me.
I think the next one is hilarious too. Harrison Byrne versus Ryan. Yeah,
I like this.
Yeah.
Good job, Caesars.
I'm really interested in that final one, Logano versus Busch
qualifying. Yeah, I like Logano to qualify well. I just
think he tends to unload fast.
24th. Colleague versus Rick Ware.
Rick Ware is a minus 130 favorite now. Let's go.
And they should be. That's the craziest part.
Yeah.
Bowman versus Chastain. Byron plus 115 versus Martin Truex. Welcome to the betting card.
Woo. Man. Kind of liking that Buescher over Kozlowski.
Yeah, I don't hate that. Where are we? Caesars.
I mean, Buescher's not really all that good here, but. Of the two cars, I feel like he's been the most consistently average.
Yeah. Does DraftKings or anybody else have...
So they do have matchups.
They do?
Yeah.
Okay, let me get over there. Multisports.
You know, I'm going to get at the... Which one was that? I'm going to hit the Daniel Suarez. Under 16.5, minus 125. I know I'm paying a little bit of... I'm paying up for that, but... He's only not done that once over the last six races.
Yeah. So and here's I think the Truex, Byron.
Probably get 15th.
Yeah. Yeah, top 15 feels realistic. I'm getting a better number with Caesars as opposed to DK, which is good. Bubba plus money against Chase Elliott. I don't hate that. And honestly, Bell against Reddick. I know Reddick's been incredible, but
yeah, I'm telling you, the plus money bet on Bell over Reddick, I feel like is pretty strong.
What's Greg's in top Ford here? 8-1. Chastain 10-1. But I'd rather just bet him to win the race, yeah.
Yeah, but he's got to beat Kyle Larson. Like,
yeah, and William Byron.
Yeah, and I'd rather just bet him to win at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back to the team props.
Yep.
Might as well just, if you could just bet a penny or like a quarter on Ford plus 6-1, you get everybody in the manufacturer, and if somehow it hits, like, You don't have to worry about who the hell it is.
Right, but like, who do you feel good about actually winning the race outside of like maybe Blaney? I mean, I was Noah just Gragson. Say, if we ranked, let's do this because I want to see what you I want to see like legitimately like where was I guess I should go back. I can go back here.
I think yeah.
Go to top Fords. It was up here. Top Ford. Okay. The obviously number one. Well, okay. Ryan, let me say this. So who, if you had to rank the top three options that could actually win the race, who's one, who's two, and who's three?
It's, I mean, Ryan Blaney has to be first.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, he's the last second. Ford to win a race, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Man. If we're talking right now, I would say Ryan Blaney. Probably probably Keselowski. Maybe. Man.
I might go.
Do we put Noah Gragson second? Like
that's where my head went. Like I think it's for me, it's between Gragson and Logano. I will say of the in terms of speed this year at both Vegas and Texas, number one is Buescher, who was third at Vegas, 16th at Texas.
Well, I mean, and then Logano. Buescher's numbers in Vegas are skewed because he was the first guy that wrecked.
Yeah, that's true.
But Texas, he was okay.
The last 2 years at Kansas, number one is Logano, who's been very average, and then Keselowski, and then Buescher. Oh, Blaney is number one. My bad. Blaney, and then Keselowski, and then Buescher. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I'm not going to cry if Logano finally gets a freaking win, considering I'm heavily invested on over 1.5 victories this year. Dude. So.
It's amazing how like that guy can be so good 1 year and then just like very average the next.
I mean, this season alone, like when you look at his finishing results, he's no better than maybe a 10th place car on a week to week basis.
It's not even like what Kevin Harvick was last year.
Oh no, Kevin Harvick was much more consistent. At least we knew Kevin Harvick was going to run in the top 10.
Yeah,
the whole race, whereas Logano like runs in the mid teens and then finds his way into the top 10 late.
Elliott plus 105 versus Truex is interesting. Bubba versus
about Superbook matchups.
Yeah, I figured I'd check it out.
These are fun.
Bowman plus 110 over Gibbs. Chastain plus 110 over Gibbs. I don't hate that matchup.
I mean, do we just fade Ty Gibbs again? But the thing is, like, I'm so high on him. Like,
yeah. I don't really want to fade him completely, but
all right, I'm gonna hit this one right here. Chastain over Alex Bowman.
Yeah.
I like Bowman.
You can get Ford at 7 plus 700, 710.
Yeah, I'm going to hit Chastain over Bowman. I feel like that's a decent play, especially with how much better Chastain has looked at like Vegas than Bowman the last couple of times.
Yeah. Here's a gross one. Keselowski, Logano, Buescher, and Daniel Suarez. I kind of like Suarez there. Just fade the Fords. Ooh. Nah, here we go. Found it. Gragson in a group.
Oh, yeah, I already had it.
McDowell, Josevar, and Dillon plus 250.
Or no, I actually. So that's funny. So that's the same matchup we have on our favorite offshore. I actually bet that already.
I will be adding that as well.
Yeah.
Driver. Dillon. Josevar. Yeah, that's a good bet. That is a good bet.
Yeah, I am disappointed that we don't have top 10 markets, though.
Yeah, it's not great. We will, we can definitely add them as when they pop up, and we will share them on social. If we find any qualifying bets we like, we'll try to share those too. I want to be better about doing that because those are fun, especially at mile and a half. So I really like doing them. Just got to find pencil time in my schedule to actually do it.
Well, we have a very late afternoon qualifying.
That's true.
This weekend, so
very, very true. Anything else we should go look at? Anything else tickling your fancy? Driver to finish on our drivers on the lead.
I'm not messing with the market again. Look, I can't get that fucking thing right. Pardon my French.
What the French toast? Ryan Blaney finishing position. Oh yeah, these are just the ones we already looked at.
Yeah, I'm not touching any Ford finish position. Although the McDowell one is intriguing because he's only got to finish ahead of like the half of the field, but
yeah.
I mean, our luck, he'd probably wreck.
Reddick's, what's Reddick's top five number?
Man, I don't even know if that's available anywhere.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, the only ones that seem to be out are top threes.
Sweet yeah. Nothing.
And Caesar's, you know, it's in alphabetical order, so of course you gotta scroll all the way down. He's plus 175 to top three.
What's that?
He's plus 175 to top three.
Minus 115 to top five is not bad. He's super consistent.
Yeah, but so okay, just getting back on the conversation of which odds you'd rather bet. So if you could bet Tyler Reddick plus 175 to top three, or if you're that high on him, top three, I would rather just bet him top Toyota at 3-1, because if he's finishing top three, there's only two other spots that he has to potentially beat somebody. Yeah, that could be Denny Hamlin, but at the same time, what if he wins the race?
Then I want an outright ticket on him.
Yeah, but he's 6-1 to win. Nice. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
What about Larson and Reddick to top five at plus 175?
Nah, there's too much that can go wrong. We saw it when Denny and Larson got into it at the end of the Kansas race. If Larson wasn't as good of a wheelman as he is, he's probably finishing 15th through 20th because he wrecks the car. And he limps across the finish line instead of still being able to hold on to it and finish second.
You can get Keselowski or Buescher to win at 25-1.
I still don't think that's long enough. Fords are bad.
I agree. But when we're talking about 7-1 for the whole manufacturer.
Yeah, but then you have Penske. Like, what if Blaney and Logano?
Yeah, what if they unload fast and look great?
Yeah, because you know they're both winners.
Where's Larson? Oh, Larson or Byron plus 225 is kind of fun, just because we've seen them at mile and a half chase each other around the track and be one of the two cars you need at the end.
I don't hate that.
I don't know. Now I feel like we're grasping at straws because we don't.
I was just gonna say, like, sometimes you gotta be patient. Sometimes you gotta be patient.
All right, let's review where we're at. Let's give the people maybe a favorite bet, at least at this point, and let's get out of here. So, I have Ross Chastain at 22-1 and William Byron at 9-1 on the outright card. I have Gregson top forward at 12-1. Thank you, BetMGM. I probably want double digits on that, but like would be fine if it got all the way down to, I don't know, probably 8 or 9. I think I want double digits though. Byron over Truex at plus money. And then my favorite group is Gregson over McDriver, Dylan, and Josevar. That feels really, really nice.
Yeah, I do like that one a lot.
Brian, who's on your betting card?
So yeah, I got the Willie B 9-1 outright right now. I'm riding the Noah Gragson top Ford train at BetMGM. 12-1 is a fantastic number there, especially with how poor that garage is. Yeah. I like me amigo, new American citizen, to finish under 16.5. And then my lone matchup right now, I'm going to go with the Watermelon Man over Alex Bowman, hoping for a ceiling type weekend from Ross Chastain.
I like that. I like that a lot. And I think if you don't have him on your outright card, though, that's interesting.
I mean, I was going to do that, but like how simpatico can we be? I mean, then we're like
too simpatico, apparently.
Yeah, then we're literally riding the do or die train together.
Yeah, yeah. No, I that is a good point. It's nice when we aren't totally synced up.
But don't worry, I will definitely have more outrights, and make sure you're following both of us on Twitter, because I have been adding multiple bets post qualifying.
Yeah, Brian has been a machine in terms of firing, and he's been hitting the nail on the head a few times. So we've hit a few outrights this year. It's been nice. Yeah. Obviously helped buoying our cards on the season. Brian and I will be back Saturday post practice and qualifying. It'll probably be a late night in terms of the newsletter. But if you aren't subscribed to the newsletter, aoppodcast.substack.com. gets you access to our free newsletter, which includes extra DFS thoughts, extra betting picks, our full betting card, a variety of stuff. If we have extra stuff to throw in there, we will. If you have not subscribed to the YouTube page yet and you are watching this, please consider doing that. It costs you nothing. We're trying to get to 1,000 subs. If we get to 1,000 before the All-Star break, which I think we still have a couple weeks, right, Brian?
Yeah, I think we have like 3 weeks.
Okay, so get us there, and then we can do a really cool giveaway. Let's see, schedule. So we have this week at Kansas and next week at Darlington to get us there, and then we're on All-Star break. Also, for All-Star weekend, what? Give us some thoughts down in the comments on what you would like to see, Brian and I. Yeah. Most likely won't be talking, breaking down the race itself, just because there's going to be a bunch of weird stuff and it's All-Star weekend. But if you'd like to see us talk maybe to Chris Wormy and kind of get a primer for the second half, if you think, maybe a round table, maybe something else, or you're like, you know what, just take the week off. We're not really worried about it. We'll get back when we get back to Charlotte. That's fine too. The Coke 600 is coming up, and I'm very excited about that.
I was just going to say, I am ecstatic for that race, by the way.
That'll be a fun, long, long race, but it's really, really fun and really stressful if you have anybody near the front more than like 5 laps to go. That is Brian Twining. I'm Kyle Robert. Enjoy the rest of your week. Let us know down in the comments your thoughts for the All-Star break, as well as somebody you're betting on the outright market. Subscribe if you haven't. Check out our Substack if you haven't. Make sure you subscribe over there as well. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next time.